Despite what we do, we're all creatives, and my next guests are no exceptions to this. I had a chance to sit down with the charismatic and very talented members of JO Productions, a creative collective of entrepreneurs. The team consists of a barber, a barista, and a graphic designer. Although they all have different skills and talents, their mission remains the same: to use them in serving their community. Let's get right into it. Welcome to the Conversations with Chance Mutuku, and I'm super excited today to share some ideas with you. In the studio, I have some incredible individuals with me here, and so I won't really spoil the deets for you. I'll just let them introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about what they do. So let's get right into it. What's good?
What's good? What's good?
Yo, what's good?
What's good over there?
Hey. We're sharing vibes. So tell us your names and what a little bit about yourself. And
okay. Yeah, my name is Joshua Obsetti. I was born and raised in Niagara Falls, Canada. And I got a really big heart for this region. And I want to see it grow, and a lot of the inspiration comes from God being number one. And nice. I'm a barber. I'm just an artist in general. My main thing is barbering at the moment. And we're trying to branch out and do bigger things under JO Productions. And yeah, that's it for me right now.
Yeah.
Sick.
I guess that's where I come into the play. My name is Abdul Moon. I was born in the Philippines, raised a little bit in Saudi Arabia, and then moved here when I was 6 years old. Wow. Right now, at the moment, I'm kind of just experimenting with a whole bunch of different startups. JO, we're taking it to the online platform. We've got clothes coming out for the spring and summer line. We've been doing clothes for a while now, so a lot of people have our merch, but we just want to experiment with the online platform. I also run a little coffee shop down here during Josh's business hours. Another thing I do is also educate people on financial topics that schools don't really go into. And I think that's an important concept that we all should know. And last but not least, we're trying to up our social media game by doing podcasts just like this.
Yes.
We're thinking of doing a YouTube channel and just being more sociable and letting people know what we're into and what we're up to.
All right, my name is Felix. I'm a freelance artist. I do murals, logo work, anything graphic, basically. And just, I call myself an artist. I paint, I draw, all that stuff. I also work for JO, under JO, for JO Apparel. I like to do the designs for the t-shirts and just the overall feel of the shirts, placement, whatnot.
It's the head of design.
Oh yeah.
creative director.
I like that. Vibes. Go
and
on.
Yeah, that's what I'm up to nowadays. Always willing to get inspired, be creative. Yeah, I like to keep it open. I'm not tied to any one medium. I like to do painting, sculpting. We do wanna, like, another thing I'm interested in is like art toys,
sculpture,
yes.
Toys.
Yes.
I think we mentioned, I told you about that like a long time ago. The first time we met, talking about toys.
Toys.
Yeah.
It's vibes.
It's a whole different world, I feel, just like being able to hold the art like that in a 3D form.
Yes.
And that's something I'm interested in. I have somewhat of a background with 3D stuff just because coming out of high school, I wanted to be an animator.
Yeah.
But then took the animation portfolio workshop classes, and that's when I learned I didn't want to be an animator. Yeah, and then Joshua pulled up the idea of just going ham on the JO Apparel, and so I started my freelance business, and then Joe Apparel on the side too. But now we're trying to bring it forward, like what Abdul said.
Yeah.
Yeah, excited for the future.
Yeah.
Vibes.
Yeah.
Wow, this is so sick. So, man, there's so many things we'll be talking about. So, first question though is, how did you guys get started in your creative avenues? Is this something that has been going on like since childhood, or is it something that you picked up? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I strongly believe I was kind of born with just that creative eye.
Mm.
And that steady hand. I would say like those two things alone was what made me stand out throughout all of my schooling years, since like JK and up. And because of those two talents, like having the steady eye and a steady hand and like a sharp eye, you know, that branched into like the whole art scene, you know. So I just found myself dabbling with a lot of different art things, you know, at a young age. But I think I was born with that, to be honest. I remember like at a very young age, I was like doing like art projects and stuff. And I'm not trying to like sound cocky, but like, yeah, mine stood out like over my classmates, you know? And it's something that I was always praised for. And just even around the house, like being able to like build stuff, you know? I think I was born with it. And that eventually led into me cutting hair.
Mm.
So. And then the opportunity of just like creating community and developing relationships with cutting hair just boosted it even more. And that's kind of like how I got started, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
It's cool. See, I'm not too much of like a hands-on creative kind of person.
Mm.
I think that my creativity comes in like, how do we use different platforms to our advantage to boost what we're doing already.
Yes.
But the coffee shop thing was rooted from my background in culinary arts. So okay. I was doing culinary arts for 6 years and working in the kitchen.
Wow.
And so I was doing a lot of like fancy plating designs, like things you would see on Instagram.
Mm.
And that was where I was expressing my creativeness. But right now I'm doing it in the form of coffee. Like I'm trying to get latte art down.
Yes.
To a science so that it looks appealing, because I feel like people eat with their eyes first and then they actually consume whatever you put in front of them. But yeah, as for like drawing and artist sort of stuff, I would definitely be one of those classmates that Josh would notice that his piece is a lot better. But no, I definitely respect artists, and I feel like they need to get more publicity, and if I can contribute to that in any way, shape or form, then I'll put my word in and
absolutely
put my heart into it.
Yeah, for me, I'm the youngest in a family of four siblings, so Josh is the second youngest.
Okay.
But I feel like my whole family has been kind of into the art. My dad, he's a painter.
Okay.
My sister has always been good at art. Mm. She took art school in Brock. Mark, also good.
Yeah.
Actually really good at drawing anatomy and that kind of thing. And I feel like all the people above me, age-wise, just like compounded the inspiration for me. I feel like they inspired me too, just because I was the youngest one, so whenever I drew something, they let me know. Like, oh, that's cool, that's not cool, and stuff like that. But, and then, yeah, I feel like it's a God-given talent too, like what Josh was going off of.
Mm.
I remember in school, people pointing it out to me, like, I would just be drawing, because art just has always been, like, my thing. I wasn't good at, like, sports or anything like that, and just doodling on everything. That's just my thing. I was the art guy in school, so yeah. And then just being noticed for that, let it grow. I always love doing art, so that's just how it is.
That's sick. And one thing that I'm sort of, you know, just noticing talking to you guys and hearing your stories is that you guys, first of all, you recognize that, you know, from an early age, you know the values and you see the talent that you have, right? Mm-hmm. And you've been able to, over the years, sort of take that and apply it into different spaces, mm-hmm. right? You said, like, mm-hmm. Being a creative from a young age, you notice that you're very talented, and then now you've taken that and merged into, you know, starting a business, mm-hmm. and then, you know, being a barber, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And this is something that I strongly believe in too, is like sort of finding your values first, yes. and really taking the time, it might be 5 or 10 years, yes. to strictly see, find that thing, that your purpose, you mm-hmm. know, what you were created to do. And then over time, now figuring out how to, I call it plugging into the equation of life. Like mm-hmm. I could be a creative, and then go into making like lattes, or starting a cafe, mm-hmm. something to bring people in together,
yeah.
or sketching, yeah. you know? Yeah. So all these things, I mean, I believe that, you know, the gifts and talents we're given are tools to basically help us fulfill the purpose that we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So
for sure.
That's super yeah. dope.
I mean, that realization for me didn't happen until I started really just loving myself, and you know what I mean? A lot of times people feel like they don't have the right talent to do a certain thing, but they have talents that they might not be given value to, you yes. know? But I really believe that everyone's born with a certain thing, and it's a matter of just appreciating what you have in front of you, you know? And just appreciate what you have in front of you and using that and leverage that to better the community around you.
Yes.
You know?
Vibes. Keyword community, because it's just like this plant in front of us. It's like, it has this branch, and to me, it's like, that's what makes us human. Like, it's the humanness, and then it's like, it spirals out into these different things and leaves and stuff. Yeah. It's like, we're all part of this global community that's becoming much smaller with the internet, mm-hmm. but then we each have something very, very special,
yes.
you know? And it's just like, when we all bring it all together and genuinely find what that is, it's yeah. like the world is so much, so much better, uh-huh. you know? Mm-hmm. Which is like so, so dope. So one thing that I noticed, even just being in this space, and I hope our listeners could be able to see this, you know, it's like there's a lot of colors, there's just, it's super dope, just creative vibes all around. How did this space come to be? Is this like something that, you know, you were sort of developed over the years? Is it like spontaneous? How did you come about?
Spontaneous.
Very spontaneous.
Yeah, okay. Spontaneous.
Well, it was a long-term goal of ours to have a cafe, clothing store, barbershop.
Mm.
But we were waiting and waiting and waiting for a property. Mm. We didn't think that we could do it out of a home.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until, I think, January of this year, I was reading a book. It was called Master's Guide to Baristaing, or something along those lines. And it said something in there where it emphasized the fact that what coffee shops do is it brings people together. And you said that yourself, right? Like, coffee shop thing can bring a lot of artists together. And I was just sick and tired of waiting. And I brought it up to Josh after we were playing some board games.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, why don't we just open up in the art lab?
Because
mm-hmm. before the art lab even existed to what it is now, it was just a room where they would practice their arts.
Also.
Yeah.
it was
a mess.
It was initially a design for a place to work, uh-huh. but over time, it just ended up being storage space.
Yeah.
Because we ended up working in our own rooms,
yeah.
you know? So Fizz would be working in his room, I'd be working in my room. And then we weren't really using this space to its full potential.
And if anyone out there works from home, you guys know how much of a struggle it is when you're working in your bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend that.
You're just gonna fall asleep, watch TV, you're gonna get so distracted.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So this is like our office now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we want to open it up. We want to open it up for other artists to, you know, take advantage and share the
thinking of like events that we should host down here, like a paint night was my idea. It'd be cool.
That'd be cool. And I know so many like young artists and just young creators like ourselves that would be super down for a spot like this.
Yeah.
I know I have, like, man, I literally write proposals for a living, so and it's been like years and years and years of submitting these proposals to like the city hall and all these places, and you get like all these rejections, and but there's a need for something like this. It's like we're all doing it in our room, and it's like there's a need for just spots to just come and collaborate. You know, and you'd be surprised what would come, what comes from it. Like, this is evidence of
for
that.
Sure. So I've been trying to get like a shot for the last 2 years. You know, and I've been rejected a lot of times. For a number of reasons, you know, I've walked into like 20 plus different buildings around the region, you know, just trying to find that spot. But it wasn't, nothing was really clicking, you know, for the longest time. And I believe like God, you know, he's in charge of everything, and he has that master plan. And I didn't really realize the reasons why it didn't happen yet until this came up. About opening up in the basement, you know, and it comes full circle, and you know, and that's just another testimony to the patience
that you have to have. Naturally too.
Yeah, naturally.
Wow.
Because this is the vision, right? Like we, I want to get a shop so we can bring people together, you know what I mean, for the coffee and the art and everything. But you know, it wasn't happening at, like right when I wanted it. But me struggling and me stressing over trying to get something actually limited me to seeing what's in front of me right now. So now, you know, after I let that stress go, give it all to God, things started popping up. And like, wow, we have a basement and we're not using it. Let's use it, you know? And that's one of the missions that we want to share with like everyone that rocks JO Apparel, you know? Just being a vessel in your community and just like taking advantage, leveraging the things that you already have. I think if each individual does that, like, the world is just a better place.
Absolutely, you know? And I think I call that finessing. You know, like you, we get so many no's, but then it's like for every no that you get, it's literally like it's a segue into like another way to work around it. Like use that to your advantage. It's like from wrestling, it's like if somebody is, you know, if we're sometimes using the opposite usually works. It's like, so if somebody's like pushing against me and I'm pushing back, sometimes that's not as efficient. Sometimes you gotta let them push into you and then use that momentum. You know what I mean? Just, you know, finessing around it. And even what you're talking about sort of connects to my very, very first episode, which I called Just Do It. For the longest time, like we were talking earlier, I waited for the perfect microphone, the perfect the perfect subjects, or just the perfect time, and I was like, you know what, screw it, we're just gonna do it, you know. So just I'm just gonna do it on my iPhone walking, I don't care. And people actually vibe with that, like there was like birds in the background, and it's just it turned out so beautiful, and I didn't mean for it to be that way, you know. So a lot of times these limitations are in fact like our superpowers, you know. And one thing that you kind of talked about is, you know, there is gaps within the community, and would you go specifically into that? Like, what do you think is missing within, especially the Niagara creative community? Are there things that are missing to begin with?
I feel like what Josh said was, like, people don't see what's in front of them. And that's a thing a lot of people in Niagara have is, they want to branch out to the main cities, like they want to move to Toronto to pursue something where they can just do it here, you know? And if that keeps happening and nothing, like everyone thinks that way, nothing's going to happen in Niagara. So, like I moved to the city because I was thinking that way. I thought Niagara has nothing for me, I'm going to move to Toronto. And I realized, like, Toronto's, one, super expensive. Two, there's way too many people there, way too many people who are like you, and they're trying to do the same thing. Very saturated market. And then three, I was very far away from home.
Home vibes, you know? You
want
to keep that.
So vibes. I took everything I learned from the city and I brought it to what I now want to pursue in Niagara. And I think that was a good learning curve, but if I could move back in time, I would tell myself just stay in Niagara.
Sick. So did you live in Toronto for a while? Or?
I lived there for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't that long, but it was long enough for me to realize, like, Niagara's home.
That is dope, because, I'm sure this has come across our minds, right? It's like, Toronto is where, you know, all the illest spots are. Like, like, I'm a DJ, and one of the things that, you know, I sort of, you know, would love to see in this region is like just a different take on even the nightlife and enjoying the music. And fam, like I
went to like an event like
a month ago. One of my homies, his name is Cassius. He's a rapper. You know, just throwing gems in there. But went to this event in Toronto, and I was like, yo, this is sick. Like, people weren't, you know, drinking and stumbling everywhere. People recognized the outfit that you're wearing, and they were not stepping on your kicks. It was just like
mad vibes.
And people were just like expressing themselves, and I was like, wow, this is dope. And it kind of crossed my mind, I'm like, maybe we should move to Toronto. But then again, it's that thought process, like, you know, recognizing what we have in front of us. I'm like, you know what, yes, the Niagara region creatively, we're sort of, it's not on the low low, but we're progressing up, and it's an opportunity to be at the forefront of that movement.
It's an open canvas,
right? And it's like there's so many creatives in this region, but it's like we just pass each other on the street, you know. Like, I wouldn't have known you if we didn't meet at the Moonbase launch. And then
shout out to Moonbase,
you know, shout out to them. It's like, you know, just we need more things like that to bring everybody together. And I think when a lot of movements in history have been started with just like young, like, energy, you know. And it's like when young people or just people who are thinking on the same wavelength come together, it's like that's when the bigger people can begin to see, it's like, oh, maybe they're up to something. We can help them out, you know. Rather than just, you know, everybody struggling individually. And it's like this is a nod to that, like, just spaces where people can come through and just create, you know. So that is like so dope. Let's talk about failure a little bit. What are your thoughts on failure and how that, you know, contributes to, I guess, success or progression? What do you think?
I think for me, one of the failures that I felt like I had, but not really a failure, is like when I went to the animation classes, because I was supposed to end that class by making my portfolio and then entering like Sheridan. Animation class. I know, like, they're one of the best in the world for animation. But I just dropped out before I even really completed the portfolio. And I felt like school was just such a safety net for me, because I've always been good at school. I, like, relied on it, like, for my self-worth, I feel, just, like, my grades, the numbers that they put on me. And then when I was taking those classes, and I just, like, in my soul or something, I just felt like I was on the wrong path. It was always, I felt like I've been told that before, like, through high school, because I was taking animation class. Like, I knew it wasn't the right path, but I just kept pushing forward with it, because my teachers would tell me, like, oh, this is, like, a more reliable, safer route for an artist. Like, this is like one of like two options I have, either animator or a freaking architect. Because they're like, oh, you're good at math and art? Okay, you should be an architect. But I felt like in my spirit, it wasn't the right path, but I just kept going through it. And then the moment we started making our portfolios, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I came back home. I was in Toronto because that's where the classes were. So I think that's another thing we all connect with, is that we all lived in Toronto at some point. And then we're just like, I don't know if this is it.
T-dot.
And then, but I really appreciate that I went through that whole process, because I learned like a lot through it, just learning so much about myself. And then I also gained a couple skills from just taking the classes too. On top of that, so even if collectively it was a failure, I still were able to pick up things from it and move forward with it. And I just learned that I wouldn't be an animator too, and just, yeah, a lot about myself.
That's sick. And you know what, like, even from your story, it's like, one of the things, I want to look back when I'm in my deathbed and be like, we flipped every stone. Like, even if my creative company is called Blanc, and then I have a clothing company as well, or it's a clothing case study, and all these projects, I want to look back and be like, okay, the clothing didn't work, the company didn't work, but we flipped every stone, and we made sure we exhausted all our resources. To me, that's peace, you know? To that, it's like, it might sound like a failure, but initially that was a stone that you flipped, and you realized that, you know what, this is for sure not my thing. To me, that's a success. That's an L that we turned into a lesson. And the other thing too is like, it's culture is moving and changing. Like, look at Virgil. The man has, like, you know, a master's in like architecture or engineering, whatever, but he's out there, you know, designing clothes and just being able to just unorthodoxly, or in a way that's so untraditional, just apply all these values in different, you know, creative assets, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, who knows? One of these days you might be, you know, sculpting a building. You know? So it's so dope. And we can also start talking about the education system. Do you guys think we should start doing things differently in terms of educating?
One thing I have a problem with is just the fact that a lot of students feel like a failure for not maybe like passing like a test or something, or like even like a whole program. Wow. Like, people that are so pressured to stay into the program that, you know, they end up like dropping out for some reason, and they feel like they have nothing to prove or to offer. Like, I just hate how like the school system kind of like makes students feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care if you're a dropout. I don't care if, you know, you're just like, you don't have the best grades. You're not a failure. Like, nobody is a failure, and yes. I want to tackle that whole thing, and I'm gonna flip that, and I wanna change that, because I know too many kids, because I'm a barber, right? And then part of the reason why I love this community so much is because I build relationship with like, so all my clients, but not, I don't even call them clients, you know, it's just relationships. And I just got so many kids, you know, they just, you know, having a hard time with school and stuff, and you know, they feel like they're dumb, they feel like they're stupid.
Yes.
And it's like, it's just not true. It's just not true. Right. You know, there's just so many different ways where you can be successful, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want to limit ourselves to just that, you know, system.
No, it's, and it's, we live in a system of boxes. Like, I was listening to a podcast driving up here, and they were talking about the sort of contrast within cultures, like in Europe, where it's, even when you meet someone here, it's within the first 30 seconds, you're gonna ask, what do they do? And then in Europe sometimes, or most of the time, it's like, just when you talk about, oh, I have a friend, it's like, okay, let's talk about them, and you sort of just figure out what they do over time, rather than, okay, let me see what box they can fit in into mine too, so I can maybe roll up on them and give them my business card, you know. And I remember, especially with Blanc, I've sort of learned how to speak in entrepreneurial terms, but at the beginning, approaching it as a creative, it was so much harder. Like telling people that, okay, yeah, we want to do this, but then start segueing into, oh, finding the cure for cancer, and then designing buildings and designing bodies, you know? And people didn't really understand it. But it's like, our culture is so inclined to just boxes, you know? And I think as creatives, we feel so limited when people begin talking like that, you know. So I think that's like a struggle for all of us, man. And I think part of winning that battle is just constantly finding ways to explore and to use your creativity to do different things. And it's interesting you talked about sort of the relationships with the kids that you're working with, or your customers or your clients. I find, like, being a barber, it's almost like therapy in a way. It's like you're first of all designing, you know, a part of somebody's body, right? Mm-hmm. Like the hair. But then there's stories that go mm-hmm. along with that. Like, what do you even, like, let's talk about your creative process. Like, how does that even work? Like, and how stories tie into that?
Oh yeah. Probably the most value that I get from this job, this career path, is the stories. Being able to listen to so many different people from all walks of life and just learn so much from, like, wow. the people that walk the community, you know, mm. people that are my neighbors, you know, people that grow up in this community and, you know, probably future leaders of our time, you yes. know. But yeah, it's been a huge blessing, and I try to take advantage of every opportunity I get. Like, whenever they're getting a haircut, I try to, you know, throw some gems in there, hey. You know, just try to speak positivity
yes.
into their lives. And you know, I think they feel that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
you know, and it's really more than just, you know, a haircut. I try to make it more than that, and that's just me stepping out of the box as well, you mm-hmm. know, just understanding that this is an opportunity to help people, mm-hmm. you know.
And yes.
You know, and I'm not just trying to make money off of them. I'm not just trying to, like, make, like, this huge business.
Yes.
Like, this is an opportunity to help people, you know, and this is just my way of doing it.
Yes.
And there's so many different ways, like, we can help, like, each other, you know.
Vibes.
And
that's sick, because we're talking about a little bit about our, you know, spiritual beliefs mm-hmm. And our faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what that makes me think of is the idea of ministry.
Yes.
You know, it's you're using this as your ministry. Yes. And I think I've been trying to talk to people about this for so long.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even the way sometimes I think we approach religion and, you know, being spiritual and faith, sometimes it's sometimes that can push people away too. It's like,
yeah,
if I'm in the hood and I'm, you know, I'm trying to connect with these kids, I'm gonna speak their language, you know, mm-hmm. and actually get in there, and I'm gonna try and rather than, you know, take my Bible and hit them on their heads with it, I'm gonna use my skills as a segue to, you know, start talking about these bigger, you know, topics, you
uh-huh.
know? And it seems like you're doing that as well, like,
for sure.
Like, and I love that. And to me, I believe that's, you know, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
To use everything that we got to just, you know, use that as our ministry as well, you know?
Exactly.
That is dope. Wow.
Yeah, so, man, a lot of the times I'm just listening, you know? Sometimes people just need someone to listen.
Yes.
You know? So I'm not just trying to, like, push, like, positivity and just stuff like that, you know. I'm just there, you know.
Mm.
And if I get a chance to say something, then I'll say it.
Vibes.
But yeah.
And we recently had a workshop in Kitchener, Waterloo, and sadly within the past year, I've lost probably five kids. Not just to death, a few of them went to jail, a few, you know, passed away due to, you know, violence and all these things. And just talking to some of these kids, they like you said, kids are looking for people to listen to mm-hmm. them. It's like they have they've seen things and they have ideas, and sometimes they're not looking for advice, they just need somebody to hear them out.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's mm-hmm. important too. And it's equally translates even in the entrepreneurial world. If I'm working with somebody, a lot of the times you're gonna have to listen before you cut somebody's hair. It's like, you know, like if they want like a fade, I'm not gonna, you know, just you know, dye their hair or something.
Yeah.
You know, so that's super important. Just listening. That's that's key word. Let's talk about the internet, the good old internet.
The internet.
What are your thoughts on the internet and creativity?
When you say internet, you know, being creative, we think about like social media.
Yes.
And it's like a love hate thing for me.
Mm.
I don't know. It's just growing into something. it's not the healthiest for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend some people to be on it.
Mm.
But it's also a blessing for other people.
Yes.
To be able to share art and entrepreneurship.
Facts.
So it's a love and hate thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's
I feel like, I mean, Josh has taken some really big twists and turns in terms of like social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm his cousin, so I've seen him go from like posting every day
yes.
to like deleting the app because he's just sick of it.
Yeah.
To like deleting all the Instagram pictures mm-hmm. to where we're at now, where we're using social media to really open up to people like we've never have before, mm-hmm. I feel. And I think that's powerful because we're not trying to do it like anyone else is doing.
Yeah.
We're not trying to like buy millions of followers and stuff like that. We want like a good handful of people who truly support what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to let people in on some good vibes, you know? Yes. Like nowadays, everyone out there is just hating on each other and not a lot of the times that you'll actually get to see like some real stuff,
you know? Expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Like what we're doing now on our Instagram is crazy. I think it's really weird.
It's weird. Definitely weird. But it's
weird
fun.
Is good.
Yeah, it's fun. We're trying to have fun with it, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to stress about like the logistics.
Yeah.
Too much, you know, about the followers, the likes, and this and that. We just want to have fun with it, you know, and we feel like it's gonna rub off on people, and people are gonna get the idea that like they're just having fun. They're just having fun, you know. Like, yeah, we have a business, and we want it to grow. But what at the end of the day, what we value the most when it comes to relationships is like face to face. You know, we won't have the same connection online, you know. But so one thing that we are pushing for is just creating like ways to interact with people like face to face. So we don't want to rely too much on social media to create that connection.
Yes.
Because, you know, we end up like focusing on people online and forgetting about the people in our community, you know.
That's super important.
So we want to make that a strong point in our business to like be face to face with people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and even when he was talking about like doing the toys and everything, it's like, yo, that is so rare these days because it's like there's so many like Instagram models, so many Instagram trainers, so many Instagram designers, and all these things, and it has sort of in a way sort of created a subgenres for the people that are doing things in actual life.
Mm.
So imagine, let's say, if he does like a drawing that you see digitally. But then that's a different experience from actually being able to touch it and to feel the other dimensions that you otherwise would not be able to, you know, to feel on just scrolling down like a timeline, which is like, I find that super rare and like super dope. And to me, it's also like another advice to creators that are listening. It's like, try and do things in real life. And it's like, we're talking about some of the banners that I do on my socials. It's like, I'll do something, then do a banner, or do a banner for something that is already gonna happen like tomorrow, like within a week, you know. And I think that in a way too will help a creative that is trying to, you know, just make it through this noise that is that is out there, right?
Yeah, man,
that's wow.
Yeah,
that is dope.
There's a lot of noise out there.
There's a lot of noise.
A lot of creative noise.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm thinking about it one of these days, because when I was in like grade 7, grade 6, we used to go up north by like Parry Sound and just like be away from everything and just like camp out for like a week or so.
Yeah.
Just literally like no technology whatsoever.
Yeah.
I want to do that one of these days and try and create without references, because I'm sure like in my creative process, I create like a mood board most of the time. And then just catch the vibe and then apply that to some of the ideas that I have, you know. I want to, in a way, sort of like detox and reboot the system a little bit. Try and just create a painting without anything. Just let it just flow.
Yeah.
You know? That would be interesting to see the results. You know,
that'd be a huge learning experience for sure.
Absolutely. You can even make it like a design camp, creative camp. That is sick. But like to what you were saying, it's just like anything, and how we're talking about sometimes, like there's positive and negative to everything.
Yeah.
It's like this kids that I've met like through social media, and like we've been able to form like these meaningful connections in person that's just started online, you know. And I think even like a lot of these tech companies could still they could use that platform to initiate good, like spreading
for
love
sure.
and just creating these more positive connections, you know?
For sure. And yeah, man, I don't want to completely knock like Instagram or social media or anything like that, because there is a lot of opportunity for that to happen.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is sick. No, and that's why I think it's still up to us to just keep knocking on these doors and trying to break through these glass ceilings, and to keep initiating these ideas that we have, you know. So let's talk about culture and how in terms of like your ethnical background, and how that plays into how you're able to merge that into your creative work.
Your background?
Yeah. Actually, where are your parents from?
From the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm half Pakistani, half Filipino.
Okay.
So our moms are sisters.
Ah, see. Sick. And like, do you think culture plays a role in your creative work, or is that like, is it a complete, like, separate thing?
What Felix said, like, his family is just all into art on his dad's side.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then on his mom's side, which is like linked with me.
Yes.
They're very business oriented.
Yeah.
Like in the Philippines, they own like a gift shop, a bowling alley. We got
restaurants,
architects who like build houses over there. Very business focused, so it's like a good match, you know.
Okay.
I think that's what brings the entrepreneurship to like us.
Yeah.
Is that mixture of like both creative and business mentality.
Because we talked about like how like more artists, I think, or more creatives need more recognition, and I think one of the answers to that is, I think, the merge of the two, you know, because I've talked to so many young artists and just young creators, and they have the art side, because we all want to create at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But like dealing with that nitty gritty, like entrepreneurial stuff is so tough, you know.
It's
but
tough.
I think it's necessary, you know.
It is, yeah.
Like, and one thing that I've sort of, you know, been able to learn within the past 2 years of running Blonde is even dealing with like financials, like dropping a price to a client, you know, and like, you know, just having to deal with the backlash that comes after that.
Yeah.
Have you encountered that within your journey? Or?
He's going through it right now.
Yeah, he's going through it. Let's hear it.
Yeah. I just spoke to this other graphic designer, and I told him my price was like, I don't even want to say it. He's like, yo, you are underselling. Because it's not good for the art community also to undersell yourself, because you cheapen the whole community. And I wasn't like even aware I was doing that. I was just like, I don't really have any experience. I don't think anyone's gonna hire me unless I sell myself cheap. I think a lot of artists just need your skills should speak for itself. Like, you don't necessarily need high clients, like big clients, to be selling to other clients, basically. It's just, not good for the community, and something I'm still in the process of learning, but I feel like I'm getting a lot better.
I keep telling him, like, man, why are you charging that much?
Yeah.
His art is, like, one of a kind, and if you're doing something like a logo, it's for, like, a business that's going to use that on everything.
Exactly.
They're going to have it on their doors, they're going to have it on their business cards, stickers, shirts, like everything, and he's charging such a low rate that it kind of undersells it.
And I've been told that like numerous times from my family, my friends. It's just like, it doesn't, I don't know, I just, I feel like it's like an artist mindset. You don't want to, you're like, a lot of artists are too humble or something, and they don't want to come off as like, oh yeah,
but it's so worth it. And it's like I'm 23, and a lot of times if like I've literally designed something in 5 seconds, and it's like if I'm charging per hour, I'm gonna make like 3 cents or 5 cents, you know. It's like, but like being 23, it's taken 23 years to do that. You get me? And it's like, yeah, a lot of times, and this is something we can talk about like in like a later episode, like artists, we're out here on this, or you think they're gonna go to like another like cheaper person and outsource them from a different country.
Which is like, that is another issue. There's such a process going through my mind every time.
Trust me. But at the end of the day, we just want to create.
And it sucks like getting into a job knowing that you undersold yourself and just working through it. Like, oh, the hours are building up.
Yeah,
and
you're exactly.
Like, this,
it knows that
it kind of kills the art for you. And
you work on it for like 20 hours and then you decline it.
And you guys are like, oh, could you change this? I'm like,
aren't you trying to sell this? But you said, like you said, though, it's an like an evolving process, you know, and like I'm sure if you ask us, like maybe a year from now, our answers will be very different.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. I've grown from that, but I still know I need to grow so much.
Right.
In the whole pricing aspect of it.
And to that too, it's like just another gem for any creator that's listening. Like you said, he's still learning, and that's like. I think that's super important. Anything that we do, right? Just keeping your ears open to just learn. Like I'm open. Like if it could be a 15-year-old, like put me on game. You know, let me know how these kids are moving these days, so I can sort of see how I can, you know, speak to them in the ways that they understand. You know. So in closing, I know like this was, you know, very very brief, and I'd love to continue it one of these days.
We have to.
So just, are there any sort of takeaways or gems or advice for kids that are listening, or just any creative person?
I'd like to say community is enough, and they can kind of take it from there.
Yes.
Community is enough. I think one thing I want to stress on is like, you have to just do it. Like your first episode. A lot of this that you see was just because we said like, screw it, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
And then things will happen naturally, and it's almost like, I could relate it to like a surfer who is like, other people will stare at these waves and they're gonna look at it like, hell no, I'm not gonna ride that. But a surfer, like an entrepreneur, will look at the wave and see opportunity to ride that and then take them
waves,
just like go on the journey, you know, and learn from that.
I love that. That is so sick.
On top of the just do it thing, like just doing it, like sometimes you'll come across failure. But it really isn't failure. Like every time I've said something was a failure, I've looked back at it and I've never regretted it. I've grown so much from that experience, learned so much, like emotionally and spiritually. It's nothing. Like when I decide to just do it, I never regret it.
Sick.
You learn more than you would think from failing than succeeding at everything too.
Absolutely. And it's like, even like in working out terms, it's like when you work out to failure, it might hurt in a moment. It's like your muscles feel sore, but then it's like, that's growth, you know. If I'm curling and it's not really hurting, chances are, you know, that for a muscle fiber to grow, it's like you have to tear it a little bit. Growth comes from that, you know. So that is the community, you know, surfing the wave, you know, just go with the wave.
Don't be scared of it.
Failure is key. vibes. Well, thank you so much, man, for allowing me to come out and check out this spot. Yeah, this was super dope. We gotta continue it. So for the listeners that are listening and that are interested in finding out a little bit about yourselves, where can they find you?
JO Productions on Instagram. It's J.OH Productions. And yeah,
shoot us a DM. Yeah. We'll reply.
Yeah, and the website. The website is j-oh.ca, jo.ca.
Vibes. Yeah, so check them out. These fellas are incredible. I'm in awe just sitting here, you know, taking in all of this this knowledge. And so, yeah, until next time, take it easy and keep creating. And I can't wait to bring you more ideas. If you like what you've been hearing this whole time, please feel free to check me out and to say what's up. Give me your feedback at Chance Mutuku on all the social media platforms, and of course on to catch up with all the previous episodes. Be sure to, you know, check out chancemutuku.com, and yeah, take it easy. Sweet. Peace. We lit.